much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I cannot take this. I cannot take this. Like, I'm literally about to cry right now, mother. Let me get this straight, okay? Let me get this mother straight.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I feel like once you lick it, then it's the flavor's gone. Or do you have to keep, you keep licking it? I'm
really?
Stop talking.
Honestly, you
want please don't. That. Please don't. We don't have enough tape yet.
So how long do you usually lick it, Allie?
Well, that's my question, because if you lick it once, is it done? Or do you have to keep licking?
Depends what a good licker you are.
I would keep licking.
Are we there yet?
And now.
Hey, Allie, you want to be my Rubik's Cube? I could finish you in under 6 seconds.
Our feature presentation.
That's a pretty good offer. I mean, very generous, I'll
be honest.
Yeah, I've got 6 seconds.
Right.
Who doesn't,
time
really?
Wouldn't slow down your day much.
No.
Get the job done, take care of business, be on with the rest of your day.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 25th of July.
I forgot to mention this after John Jones left yesterday, and we'll be playing some highlights of that interview coming up next hour.
That you were going to kick his ass?
Allie, you were very impressed with Mr. Jones.
I told him, these words literally came out of my mouth as I was looking at him, I really didn't want to like you. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't expecting to, quite frankly.
I thought right then she was just going to jump over
and just start fighting.
Start throwing blows.
I love Daniel Cormier! And just punching him. Yeah, no, I was impressed with, he seemed like he took a lot and understood now, finally, that maybe everything needed to change, and it seemed like he was
time
at peace.
To get grown up.
Yeah, it seemed like he had done some growing up. So
well,
I was impressed.
Look. It's hard not to form an opinion of somebody when you see headline after headline of cocaine use and hit and run and DUIs, and you just in your mind you have an image of what that person is like, and
sure.
That was not the guy who walked through the door yesterday.
Yeah, my misconception.
Well said. But the reason I bring it up
I was thinking that dude was hot, too.
And you
that
thought
helped.
He was very attractive.
That helped.
You couldn't stop staring at his lips, I heard.
His lips were, yeah, I think the word I used was supple. They were just, they were great lips. Yeah. They were the greatest lips I have seen on a human being.
You don't hear the word supple in the wild much.
They were perfectly shaped, and the coloring of that, I can't.
Would you go so far as
could.
To say...
I could.
you certainly would. Would you go so far as to say they were pillowy?
I would. The upper lip was the perfect amount of pillowy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pillowy, I think that's the highest compliment that can be paid to a set of lips.
Okay.
What's
pillowy.
Happening right now?
Not sure.
How is
but
that
the reason...
highest compliment? I never heard of pillowy.
Because there's nothing better than a pillowy lip. That's why. Come on, Kevin.
Sorry.
Get your life together.
My bad.
Here's the reason I bring it up, though, and somebody brought it up on social media this morning. We never talked about it.
Oh, no.
And I hope it's not going to be a shameful secret, but did he or did he not use the word success?
Did he not use it once, twice, maybe three times?
The answer is yes, he did.
He said success.
Yes. I thought he did too, but I wasn't going to tell him.
Right? Who's going to tell him?
Not me.
Now, and that just it destroys my whole worldview that the piece of tape we've been playing for the last 6 months from that reporter in Central California, it was just a mispronunciation. Is it possible?
Oh, yeah,
that there
absolutely.
Are people out there who success is how the word is pronounced for them.
Absolutely.
I bet,
but
yeah.
We've never heard that before. None of us have ever heard that before, that piece of tape.
I don't know that we've ever been really paying attention to that. Because
that jumps off the page.
It does
hear
now
that
you've played that news report.
No, I think success is some people's library, some people's espresso.
Right.
Espresso.
Right, I think, yeah, exactly.
But why have we never heard it before?
You have. You just weren't paying attention.
Kevin, I wasn't paying attention on that news report about the guy with the tumor either.
Well, no,
the
that was so
jumped,
in your face.
The reason it jumped out is because she said success. If I had heard success in another program, any time in my life I would have noticed it. But then to hear John Jones say it yesterday, now my whole world's turned upside down. Now I wonder if there's a million people out there who they always say success.
You need a more solid world. You can't have your world turned upside down by somebody saying success.
I don't like how tipsy-turvy things
you
are getting.
You need some kind of stability, my friend.
I'm telling you, the planet seems shaky to me this morning. I'm concerned we won't make it.
Yeah, he did, though.
I didn't just hear that. I mean, he said success, right?
Right. And
a couple times.
It's not as big a deal as that, Bean. It's all right. Your world.
This was a success.
Your world doesn't have to turn upside down. It's okay.
All right. I had to get that out of my system. Do I have time for one more thing real quick?
Sure.
Or are we out of time?
Depends on the thing.
Well, I mean.
Is it good?
How long? It's phenomenal.
Is it more lip talk?
How long do I have?
Let's go.
Kevin, you still subscribe to the National Post, the newspaper from Canada, I'm sure.
Sure.
So you probably have already seen this. There is
I memorize it before I come in.
There is a man named Peter Smith who is an entrepreneur, and yes, I can now say that
word.
He is the CEO of Danison. He worked in London finance for many years, and then he had that million-dollar idea, and he said, screw the rat race, I'm going into business for myself. He has created a company that sells luxury toothpicks.
Yay!
Huh? What's a luxury toothpick?
Luxury toothpicks. They are made
velvet outside?
They are made from American milled northern white birch. They come in six
flavors.
Oh, that
is the best.
Bourbon, single malt, ginger honey, lemon, mint, and cinnamon. Those are the flavors. A four-bottle pack starts at $25.
Oh, wow.
With 12 toothpicks per bottle, that works out to 50 cents a toothpick. In case you're wondering, the plastic toothpicks that you might buy in the supermarket, you can get 250 of them for about $2, less than 1 cent per toothpick. But these are luxury toothpicks.
But they're not really.
But they really are.
I mean, but how?
He is finding that people
Coat it with weed. I'm not spending that kind of dough.
People are willing to pay
weed
a premium.
Weed toothpicks. I'm writing it down.
See, there you go. There's your million-dollar idea.
That helps.
People are willing to pay a premium price for his superior product, he says. Look, there are no numbers in the article about how successful he is. But
successful?
It seems like this business has been around for a while. The toothpicks come in a thin corked bottle embossed with the company name. One end of the toothpick is charred. Danison also sells leather carrying cases for your toothpicks. The cheapest is $57. That carries
one
bottle.
What is in these dudes' teeth?
Who?
Come on.
How many toothpicks do you need?
Do you need a leather case?
And who needs to spend that much money on toothpicks?
The most expensive leather case, by the way, holds six bottles of toothpicks, and it goes for $456.
Wow.
For the leather satchel that you put your toothpick bottles in.
I'm a little suspect of the idea that they didn't put any numbers in. Because if they were selling a lot, they'd put that up front.
Very proud.
Yeah.
My guess. Answer to that. He seems to have expanded the product line as the business has been in effect. I don't know. He describes toothpicks as a fashion accessory with utility. You have a really nice meal, you finish with a toothpick, he says.
A fashion accessory. That's ridiculous. It's a toothpick.
Are you bringing toothpicks to restaurants, to dinners?
Yes. Apparently, and this National Post article, I urge you to look it up because it goes very deep into the history of toothpicks. And apparently, having a toothpick.
Yeah, I'm going to get right on looking that up.
Well, you already memorized it, Kevin. No. You don't need to. Having a toothpick used to be a sign that you were rich enough to eat at a fancy restaurant. Only the wealthy had toothpicks.
Huh.
People would see a guy standing outside a restaurant picking his teeth, and they would think, oh, that dude's well off. So poor people aspired to have toothpicks. Now it's the other way around. You see people with a toothpick and you think, oh, maybe that's a lower class, lower income person. But Mr. Smith is trying to bring it back, is what I'm saying. So you might want to check it out if you're looking for that something for a hard-to-buy person on your gift list.
Maybe I'm dibsing that for everybody for Christmas.
Maybe it's time to get some luxury toothpicks.
You're not getting the $400 case. Sorry.
Oh, we got to get our own case?
Yeah.
Damn. Cheap bastard.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Well, I don't like that story, great-grandpa.
Comedian Jay Moore joins us in studio today. I understand about half of his references,
mm-hmm.
30 to 50% of his references,
uh-huh.
But he's always funny. I always love him. So he's going to be in studio. He's got a live show with a guy that we used to work with a long time ago, being Jeff Cesario.
How about that?
We also have the Bachelorette Report with Ralph and Petros. You were named after a famous person. We ran into somebody at the Bicycle Hotel on Friday night, And he had a strange name, and we asked why, and it was odd that he was named after somebody in
his... figure from literature.
Yeah, figure from literature, right. We've got your tickets for Metallica at the Rose Bowl, and we've got your TCL 55-inch P-Series 4K smart TV. How about that?
Say that three times fast.
I'm lucky I said that once fast. We'll take a break. We'll come back. WNOC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 552.
Joining the 7/12 Christmas celebration, our friend Ralph Garman steps in. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Oh, no. He's
happy
leaving.
Holidays to you.
He is leaving.
Oh, come on.
Why would you start like that,
I just
Ralph?
Was wishing him a happy holiday. What happened?
Oh, it's not a holiday. That's what happened.
7/12 Christmas. Getting close over the hump.
Going to give you another chance because now Chip's walking out.
Come on.
Well, I should walk out now so that I'm not the last one standing.
I mean, or take it back and try to do it regular.
Look, I'm not in charge of the calendar. It is what it is. You wake up on the in the morning of the 25th, you got to get a little excited. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Kevin's gone. Kevin's walking out, Bean. And look. I feel like I'm usually the one that sticks up for you in many situations.
Uh-huh.
I can't. I'm out.
You're not on board with 7/12 Christmas? Now I'm the only one left in the room, and I'm not in the room. So that's, maybe I'll find some Christmas music. Maybe that'll get everybody back in the room.
No!
No! No! No! No!
Really? Because I got some. Fire must cleanse us. Oh, you're cutting out. That's a shame.
That's a shame.
Oh, and I wanted to hear that.
Too bad. Are you guys back? Is it time for the show to beat Apple?
It is now. No, there's going to be Christmas music threatened.
5:53 time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
There's a nuclear option.
Man, oh man, you're killing us today, Bean. It's been a half hour. Come on.
Exhausting. Hey, there's good news for James Bond fans. MGM and Sony have announced the schedule for the next James Bond movie. It'll be released on November 8th.
November 8th?
2019.
Right. What?
2019. 2019 is the release date of the next James Bond film.
Check my schedule. I'm pretty busy.
November 8th. Circle your calendar.
So not this year.
No, it wouldn't be 2017. No,
not next year, though.
No. That would be 2018, and there will be no James Bond film that year.
And then not until November of...
But at the end, towards the end of 2019...
I see.
You will enjoy yourself the latest James Bond movie.
Hmm.
I wonder how many people in our listening audience will not be alive when that movie comes out.
Why would you say that?
Because it's so far in the future.
I know one person I hope this is out on the premiere.
It's like, but I mean, when something is planned that far out.
Could you be you a little less?
I'm just saying, it's like, look. I've always wanted to be alive long enough to see man walk on Mars, for instance, and I fear that that may not happen.
Right, but this is a movie in 3 years. We'll all be fine.
I don't know that everybody will, though. There are people listening who will miss this, and it's just sad.
Dear,
I feel like
there's people talking who will miss this.
I hope they come out with it sooner, is what I'm suggesting.
Here's the problem with sooner. There's no star yet. There's no James Bond yet, and there's no script yet, and there's no director yet.
Daniel Craig has said he's not interested again.
There's rumors that he will be back, but there's nothing confirmed, and there's no signed deal yet. So.
Got it.
The script is still being written, and a lot of pieces still yet to fall in place.
I think we'll all be dead by then.
I wonder how many dead people there will be between now and then.
A lot of death.
I wonder who's going to be dead by the end of the day.
Death, right? Downside, no movie. Upside, death.
Oh, so much death. Remember I told you about that movie Barbie? About Amy Schumer. She was going to play a Barbie, gets thrown out of Barbie land because she's not perfect enough, and she lands in the real world and has to deal with life here amongst us mortals. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Amy Schumer says now she has a scheduling conflict, and so she won't be able to star in that film. But they're moving forward with it. Sony has been looking for a replacement, and apparently is in negotiations with Anne Hathaway to take over the role of the Barbie who isn't perfect enough to live in Barbie land. That doesn't quite work the same, does it?
At all. No, you've got...
Because Anne Hathaway's thin like a Barbie.
And gorgeous and a great actress. And
right, so it's not quite the same...
No, very different.
Yeah.
Take.
I'll do it.
All right, okay. Allie's in.
Yay.
Perky presenter's going to step in and she's going to sell luggage to Barbie.
Got this text from 626 area code. Sorry, can't do fraction of Christmas. Listen to you tomorrow.
Oh, way to go. There's the listener
There's
you killed.
One more. There's one more. We're lost.
That is not the spirit of the season, 626.
It's not a, it's not a season.
There's no fraction of Christmas.
Late July.
We should do this topic. I think this is interesting. Of workplace romances, if they made your workplace a living hell. Because apparently that's what's happening right now to the folks who work on the Morning Joe show over there at MSNBC. Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. They are making everyone's job miserable.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Because
they're fighting with each other?
No. It's the opposite.
Oh.
They're constantly together and they're constantly showing PDA to each other. And
I see.
Folks working on the show saying a show where the stars are romantically involved is very difficult.
That's why Bean and I had to separate.
Right?
That's
because
why
it was just too much, yeah. was too much love.
Kevin was too handsy, though.
Right?
I had no choice.
I was all hands at one point.
The New York Post says that the morning news anchors are broadcasting from London and pretending to be in different locations, but because they refuse to spend any time apart, they're just yards away from each other. They have two different cameras, and they're pretending they're broadcasting from two different locations, and they keep throwing
Stop
them back
it.
And forth to each other, but they can see each other.
If they're doing that, that's awesome.
That's
Come
right.
on. That's that fantastic. Can't be true.
That is hilarious.
That's so
to me.
Good.
And awesomely good and wonderful and the best. So, have you ever worked with anybody in a workplace romance situation?
I met my wife.
Oh, you
she
were.
Was working
you
at
were
K-Rock,
the workplace yeah. romance yeah. guy.
And it,
but did you act on it? Were you guys very romantic at work?
I mean, you know me, Rob.
Well, I know.
I'm all hands.
You're all romance. Mr. Romance.
Oh, God.
There were a lot of closed-door sales meetings at the time, if I recall correctly.
Oh, I gotcha. Boning. Yeah, I worked at a restaurant once in my bartending days where the two managers were in love. It was awesome.
So it's not you ruined
exhausting.
The job by...
No, it's like you worked at a place where there was a office romance that was making your life
a living.
And
they drove you
crazy. Yeah. It's tough. I think it's easier if you're in the romance because you're in love and you're happy, but everyone else around you is miserable. Just remember that. Bean.
I don't know how I got drawn into this.
Well, I don't know. Just seemed right to say that at the end of it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ileana Douglas. Love her. Very talented actress. 52 years old today. Matt LeBlanc from Friends. Also Episodes, right? Was that show? No. Was that the show he did? With
yeah.
the British people?
He was Episodes, and he has a show on the air now called Man with a Plan, I think, is his current CBS head. No,
that's not a show.
It doesn't exist.
That's not
way.
A show.
You're making stuff up.
That's the one where he's a stay-at-home
so.
Dad.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay.
He's got a new show called, oh, Hand Me the Hammer.
Right? Like that would ever happen, a right. stay-at-home dad.
Right?
I think it's in its second season. It seems,
okay.
seems popular.
Just making it up now.
All right, fantasy boy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Now?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fine.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 23 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Look, you expect Metallica to be great when you go see them in concert, but they blow you away when you see them in concert. They're better than you ever thought they could be. They're
Correct.
So tight and so strong and so loud, and they have so many more songs than you remember every time you go. It's a thrill to see that band on stage, and you get a chance at the Rose Bowl this Saturday with Avenged Sevenfold opening up. Still a few seats available to buy them if you want to go to the Rose Bowl, or you can win them right now at 1-800-520-1067. This game is easy, if I remember correctly, Kevin?
It's rather difficult, I believe.
It is the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Uh-oh. Sounds like a job for Mr. Announcer Man. How are you, sir?
It's so hard!
So, you and Mrs. Announcer Man, you're big metal heads, right? You'll be at the show on Saturday.
Of course! We'll be banging our heads! Rock and roll!
All right, Mr. Announcer Man, it's been a while since we played the game. Why don't you describe to the contestants what's going on?
We'll play for you a snippet from a Metallica song. All you need to do is identify which song it is.
Well, that seems pretty easy.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost forgot. It'll be backwards.
Yeah!
That makes it hard.
It does make it very difficult.
Yeah, not difficult.
Okay. All right. I'm very uncomfortable where this is going. Who is our first victim here, Mr. Announcer Man?
I'd like not to say victim.
Well, I'm just saying it's a difficult game. That's all.
He's a contestant. He's Mario from Mario. I guess I was wrong. No, sorry.
He is. What? I think he is Mario.
No, I lost. I have to go now.
No, you're good, Mr. Announcer.
Game's over.
No, you're good. I hit the wrong button. I meant to hit that one. Sorry, Mr. That one's on me.
Really?
I mean, the whole first hour is on you. All right, Mario, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Are you ready for your song?
I hope so.
All right, we can only play it once because it's a longer clip. So here you go. Good luck. What Metallica song is that?
Oh, my goodness.
It's not very easy.
I'm just going to go with Master of Puppets.
What?
Yes!
I mean,
wait a minute.
Yes, it is!
Wait a minute. Did you just take a random guess at any Metallica song that came to your head?
I paid close attention, but...
Unbelievable. All right, you won. Let's do it.
That's divine intervention.
Yes, it is.
So Mario is in the drawing, or he wins the...
Correct. Drawing.
In the drawing. All right, Mr. Announcer Man, who's next, please?
Next up is Jordan. He's from Diamond Bar. He sells things.
Hey, Jordan.
What's up, guys?
We're doing Hardest Game in the World, too. You ready?
I guess so. Let's do it.
Name this song.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like it came right out of...
Sad but true?
No, it's I Disappear. Time I Disappear. All right. Thank you for calling, Mr. Announcer Man.
Next up is Pedro from Montebello.
Hey, Pedro.
Hey, good morning.
I voted for you.
Oh,
file.
God.
So much file.
I couldn't resist.
Just, you could.
I couldn't.
File. All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, here you go. Good luck. All right, what's that song?
Is it The Unforgiven?
Sorry, nothing else matters. And nothing else
matters. That one did sound a little bit more like itself backwards than the others, I think.
Yeah, I just wondered if it's because we're looking at the names it's easier. I don't know. This is a very, very difficult game.
It's hard!
It is hard, right.
Next up is Matt from Glendora. He constructs things.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You ready for your song?
Yes.
Here it is backwards. Cool. Tell me what it is.
Enter Sandman.
I like your version of the title.
I had my finger right on the button.
Yep. All right, Matt is in the drawing along with Mario trying to win tickets for Metallica at the Rose Bowl Saturday. We're playing the Hardest Game in the World, Part 2. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Albert, or is it Albert?
Is it Albert?
No, it's Albert.
Albert.
Good morning,
I was trying to be cool.
Good morning. Here you go. Here's your song. Good luck.
Oh, I hope someone's alarm clock went off during that.
Same. Albert? Albert? What's your guess?
From Home the Bells Toll.
Sorry, that's Hero of the Day.
All right, I think we have time for one more, maybe.
Hello, James from South El Monte. So much better than North El Monte.
Hey, James.
What's up, guys?
You ready for your song?
I hope so.
Good luck. Here we go.
All right.
All right. Yes.
Nicely done. Certainly is. Well done, James. Well done, Matt. Way to go, Mario. All three of you in the drawing to win tickets for the Rose Bowl this Saturday with Metallica rocking your face off. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to sit next to Mr. and Mrs. Announcer Man. Who's our winner, please, Mr. Announcer Man?
I don't know.
He has no idea.
Who's the winner, please, Allie?
That's Allie's job.
What is happening?
Seriously, what the F?
What's happening? We need an intervention.
Jeff, who's our winner?
Unbelievable.
I hope you go into the desert in a bag.
Allie, who's our desert?
Holy crap. Winner is Matt.
Yay! The losers are the audience. Hey, Matt.
Hey, awesome.
Hey, Matt is our desert.
Congratulations. Thank you for playing.
Oh,
enjoy the show, and thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Oh, get out of here.
Minutes ago on the Kevin Amin Show, we gave away tickets to go see Metallica at a huge venue, the Rose Bowl. Now we want to hook you up with tickets to see another great band in a tiny place, the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. This Thursday afternoon, you can see Portugal the Man. It's as simple as giving us a call when you hear us play Portugal the Man here on the Kevin Amin Show. We'll be playing their Feel It Still song coming up pretty soon. When you hear it, just call us at 1-800-520-1067. Call us 20 through 24. You will win your way into the HD Radio Sound Space at K-Rock, and it's on the way. 6:38 now.
LA NOC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin Amin Show at 6:54.
The 7 a.m. hour on a Tuesday is magic time, you guys. It's the golden hour because that's when we have Petrus on and Ralph on for the Bachelorette Report with a breakdown of last night's show on ABC. That'll be coming up in about a half an hour from right now. Good episode, Ralph?
Not great.
Not a great episode. Anyone to hate?
No, that's the problem. These are the dog days, I always say, of the Bachelor and Bachelorette. This is the kind of fallow period between all of the drama and all the intrigue and all the battling and the infighting. And then there's these hometown dates where she kind of figures out who she wants to end up with. And then it gets exciting then at the end when you find out who she finally picks. But the last couple episodes before the final rose, we got lucky last week because of...
Because of the Swami.
Because of the yogi, teen's yogi dad. But, it was fine. It was fine. But nothing really exciting happened.
I'm still in, and I'm still hoping that Rachel finds true love. So we'll all find out coming up next hour on K-Rock. Ralph's here now. Time for the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's new?
I'm going to quit, yo. I'm not going to do any more of these concerts. What's that all about?
Oh,
really?
Justin
Bieber canceled the rest of his Purpose World Tour. I guess he couldn't find his special purpose. That means all of his upcoming North American stadium shows, his upcoming fall concerts in Tokyo, Hong Kong, the Philippines, Singapore, all canceled.
Wow.
That's a huge... It's not just like he had three left or something.
No. Wow. Massive, massive cancellation.
It does seem like he's been on the road for a really long time. Doesn't it?
I think about 18 months he's been touring.
Is that at gunpoint?
No.
No?
No, I'm pretty sure.
It's his choice.
Yeah.
Free will?
Pretty sure.
Is he doing it for free?
Oh, no.
He's making money doing it.
Like hand over fist.
Loser! 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 Loser!
The only official statement from the tour has been, it is being ended due to unforeseen circumstances. Well.
Unforeseen circumstances.
Unforeseen, it's hardly anyone's fault. By the way, they asked Justin yesterday, and he said, he just needs to rest and maybe ride some bikes.
That's what he said?
Yeah. Well, that's unforeseen. You couldn't see that coming, that he needed rest and bike riding.
Odd.
Dumbass.
Did you see, Ralph, and forgive me if you were going to cover this, but did you see the surprising Twitter reaction to the story from John Mayer?
I did not see that interesting Twitter reaction from John Mayer. What was it?
When someone pulls remaining dates of a tour, it means they would have done real damage to themselves if they kept going. We've lost so many great artists lately. I give Justin thumbs up for realizing it was time to call it. You should too.
Well, he's going to do damage. Have you seen him perform? He barely walks around on stage. He lip syncs to most of it. Mm-hmm. He won't sing Despacito because he won't be bothered to learn the lyrics.
Doesn't habla, right? I mean, he seems to think, I don't know how to read this, except that maybe he thinks it's a mental health issue, that the guy needs time off or something. He's working.
Look, I can see
something.
That, but don't you then go, I'm going to need to cancel this month of whatever coming up. I need a full month to recover, and then I'm back on the road.
Well, here's the idea. Don't schedule then a ton of dates
and promise your fans you're going to be in a city and then pull the plug on them.
Yeah.
Or that. Know what your life is.
Yeah, that's better.
Get your life together and figure out how much you can do and then just schedule that.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
John Mayer, bite me.
I mean, he
does. We don't want to lose so many greats. Wait, he's not in Fallujah. He's not digging through rubble. He sings songs.
And it was so weird. I mean, the timing of it was hard for me to not think, is he thinking that Justin Bieber ends up like Chester Bennington if he does one more concert?
Right?
Like, this is a crisis situation? Or is the kid just, you know, burnt out and just needs a vacation?
I can tell you that it's not that, because he needs to, quote, ride some bikes. I mean, come on. Isn't he smart enough PR-wise to not say that out loud yet? Mm-hmm.
He should say that his throat got blown out
right.
or something. You know?
Right.
Why?
It's super easy to make a lie like that. Yeah. Most of them do.
Just fake it like Adele did.
Stay your testicles dropped.
Right, Allie?
How dare you? Adele was not allowed to sing medically.
Yeah.
Very serious threat.
Yeah, that actor who played her doctor said that. I saw it.
And Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears have canceled their shows at the Staples Center this weekend.
I wonder if anyone in this room had tickets to go Saturday night.
Sure did.
I feel like a lot of concerts that Allie wants to go to get tickets.
Mm-hmm. Once they catch, when they catch wind.
It's really weird.
Wow.
Like every single time
you
it's
are
her.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. The weird thing with that is Roland from Tears for Fears deleted his Twitter account. So I don't know what's happening.
Promoters saying there's some sort of family emergency in Tears for Fears.
They have historically had trouble getting along, right?
They had some issues for a bit, but then they got back together. I just saw them in England, and they were incredible. Like, they sound like they did in the 80s and 90s.
How will they be Saturday night?
They will be less than sounding great to maybe not sounding at all.
So, Allie's out. She's gone. She won't be attending.
No.
I think it's, again, can't just Hall & Oates go on?
I was surprised that they couldn't get another opening act, too.
I think it was sold as those two bands were kind of co-headliners, so.
I can't go for that.
No?
No.
No can do?
No can do.
Thank you, Chip.
Yep.
Also,
automatically files that.
The Santa Barbara Bowl show also canceled, so it looks like this is trouble in paradise. For Tears for Fears and Hall & Oates. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ileana Douglas is 52 years old today, and Matt LeBlanc celebrates his 50th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The HD radio sound space here at K-Rock is amazing because there's about, what does it hold, 150 people or something like that?
About that.
Very small amount. If you get in, you're very close. We're going to give you 5 pair of tickets to see Portugal the Man this Thursday when you hear a Portugal the Man song, and it's most likely going to play this hour.
Oh, nice tip.
So be caller 20 to 24 at 1-800-520-1067 when you hear that song.
That's coming up this hour along with the Bachelorette Report, and our friend comedian Jay Moore joins us next hour as well. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico.
Good morning, guys and ladies.
Seen a lot of you in this room lately, and it gives me pause that we need a more stringent guest vetting system.
We need a security guard at the door.
I feel like somehow Dave is on the mic a lot. Friday, you were at the guys' night out down at the bike.
Yeah.
And heard you had a great time. Heard the listeners were awesome again this time around, right?
Always a good time.
It's always a good time. Yeah. And I heard that Kevin was able to keep those men away from his table that take his money every single time they do one. And therefore was able to walk out a winner for a change.
Yep, so and I donated a lot of the bike's money to,
right
to listeners. So, you know, we evened out.
Well, Dave was walking around and shaking hands and meeting people. And he had an interesting conversation that I think will lend itself to an interesting phone topic. Tell me about the young man you met.
Well, we met a guy named Lance. And, you know, Lance is such a common name that I started throwing out a bunch of these different names of like, oh, were you named after this guy, this guy, this guy? And I just threw out for fun Lancelot.
Because what are the chances?
Yeah.
So now hold on a sec. When you say Lance a common name, meaning in your mind you were thinking that he might have been named after somebody?
I don't
like
think,
a,
you
like
know,
Lance
I just thought it was a normal name. I didn't even think he would be named after anybody just because I'm not named after anyone special. I'm just, you know, that's my name.
Well, your parents don't like you.
Yeah, right. But so I just threw out a name and I don't know why Lancelot came to my mind because I've never read the book or anything. So, you know, and he's all like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It was Lancelot.
That's what it was. And I was like, what?
I think I yelled, I think he was kidding.
He was named. Now, forgive me. I don't know a lot about Lancelot. That was King was Arthur, right? Yeah. Was that the Knight of the Round Table?
Knight of the Round Table, yeah.
And what's Lancelot's deal?
He's one of them?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know anything about him.
I just wondered if he was like a strong and powerful like leader or won a war or something like that. I'm just wondering how a set of parents would choose.
Isn't that weird?
Unless they just saw the name in a book and they thought, oh, that's a great name. And maybe it wasn't even because of the qualities of the character. It's just that they liked the way the name sounded. But not Lance. His name is Lancelot?
No.
No, his name is Lance.
But he was named after
Lancelot. I see. Well, that is unusual.
So usually it seems like parents go with, you know, relatives, family name or something, grandfather, mm-hmm. maybe something. But when you're named after a famous person, fictional or real, it's odd.
I don't know how odd it is, Kevin. By the way, we'd love to hear from you if you were named after a famous person, particularly if it's an unusual name. Or like Lancelot, a person from literature, doesn't have to be a real person, but we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I think a lot of people are named after famous people in that when a person with an unusual name becomes famous, like there was nobody named Beyonce 20 years ago, but I bet there are lots of Beyonces now because that's now a name. Yes, I bet there are.
I don't think there's very many Beyonces out there.
Really?
You don't think there are?
You don't think there are a million ladies out there who love and admire Beyonce? And by the way, I bet there's going to be a lot of Adeles too, because they're fans of hers and they like everything she stands for, and they think that's a good, strong, powerful, positive name to give to their daughter.
Look, maybe just the single ones.
Oh, jeez.
File. Has Dave been in the file?
You get right out.
What's happening?
You get out right now.
I had to. Come on.
Allie, am I wrong, or do you think that is probably happening?
I don't see a lot of Beyoncés. I think that's a lot of pressure to put on a little girl, quite frankly. I don't think certain names like that are kind of so far out there.
We
I don't
named
think
one of our kids Rage,
recycled.
And then the middle were against the, and then yeah. last name is Machine.
That name isn't far out, though. I mean, once it becomes as widely known as Adele's and Beyonce's are, it just becomes part of the language lexicon. I don't think it's an outlier anymore.
No,
by the way,
I mean, like,
Christine just IM'd me. Our friends, she has friends, Jimmy and Jenny, who named their daughter Adele.
There you go.
That's one. I mean, I don't know that there's a million of them, but I think that that's what I think. Yeah, but when celebrities become popular and beloved, I think a lot of people name their kids after them.
But I mean, if you have a weird name like Beyonce, like how many Moon Zappas are there? Like moons and stars and.
But Moon Zappa wasn't the star that Beyonce is.
No, you know what but I mean? It was a popular person, you know, and I don't think anyone said, I'm going to name my kid Moon because.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of moons, that's for sure.
Popular.
And let me ask you this, because we're going right to the calls here at 1-800-520-1067. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the people who are named after a celebrity feel any kind of connection at all or care about or know about or like that celebrity at all? Or you think it just doesn't matter, like doesn't impact your life at all? It's just your name.
I think it's just your name.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
All right, you divorced yourself from what your parents' original intentions were. All right, let's start with line 4, 1-800-520-1067. If you can't call, you can also text, same number. I can't imagine who Mariah was named after, but let's find out. Let's get her on the line and see what she has to say.
Hey, Mariah.
Hi.
So,
like baby's pants of fire.
How old are you, Mariah?
I'm 23 years old.
All right, so that is perfect. That's right when Mariah Carey was at her reddest and hottest, and your parents, well, what have they told you about it?
Well, my mom wanted to name me Lizette after one of my uncle's ex-girlfriend's sister, but she heard Mariah, and she really liked it, so she kind of just put that together.
Okay, so wait a minute. So did she hear the name Mariah Carey from Mariah Carey and think, oh, I like that first name, or did she worship Mariah Carey?
No, she just liked her. She just heard the name and she liked it.
Was it an uncommon? Do you know if it was an uncommon name back then? Was it because of Mariah Carey that name exploded?
I think so. Like now, I haven't even met that many Mariahs. Or
yeah,
they spell it like way different than she does. Like mine is spelled just like hers, and it's annoying because every time I tell someone my name, they're like, "Oh, Carey." And I'm like, no, that's not my last name.
By the way, you owe your parents thanks for spelling it the same way as the common popular spelling of Mariah Carey's name, because it would be even worse for you if your name were Mariah. You'd have to sit through O like Carey, but then you'd have to explain that it wasn't spelled the way they know it.
Yeah.
So you should be grateful. Is what Bean's saying.
All right, yeah. Mariah, appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Azaria in Buena Park.
I wonder who that could be.
That's odd, right?
Yep. Hi, Azaria.
So apparently back in the 80s, there was a couple that claimed a dingo stole their baby while they were camping.
Yeah.
And her name was Azaria, and my mom named me after her.
Your mom names you after the little girl that was supposedly swooped up by a dingo.
For the record,
it was true. Her parents actually killed.
That's amazing.
That's insanity.
So you have a murder name.
Yeah, basically. So at work, I actually go by Anne because it's a lot easier. And people are like, where did you get that name, Azaria? I'm like, just call me Anne. Like, let's not even worry about it.
We don't even need to go there. Don't worry about it.
Now, did it make it more confusing for people when Hank Azaria became well known?
Yeah, people are like, oh, you're named after Hank Azaria. I'm like, no, I'm not.
No, you should say yes. You should go with yes on that one.
Yes.
That is so strange. You were named after the dingo stole my baby. That is, I never would have predicted that.
That's pretty strong.
All right, Azaria, thank you for sharing your story. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Calls and texts. You were named after a famous, or in this case, infamous person, or an imaginary character, too. We want to hear your stories next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Nirvana, let's take one phone call. This is Alex in Simi Valley. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You were named after what?
Oh, I named my son after Archer and the voice of John H. Benjamin.
How about that?
All right,
you got a little Archer at home.
Yep.
Now, a lot of our audience knows and loves and should, because it's a phenomenal show. But he must meet a lot of people who have never heard of that cartoon and are confused by that name because they've never seen it before, right?
They have no idea, and I have to explain it to them, and they kind of laugh. But when I told my parents, my dad thought it was awesome because he actually watches the cartoon.
Oh, that is awesome.
And
so,
he loved it.
Now that you've – how old is your son?
7 months.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is all brand new. So are you? Yeah. Do you think you're going to regret naming him Archer because of how often you and he are going to have to explain, no, you see there's this cartoon and there's a character, or you think it's going to be cool?
It'll be cool, but in 20 years, no one's going to know – anything about the show.
Yeah.
And it's just a cool name anyway.
It is
Archer
a cool name.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Benjamin Archer.
I think we approve.
I think we approve
it. You can keep it.
All right. We allow it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, Alex. Let's play some Nirvana now on K-Rock. Dedicate that to everyone who's named Kurt. How about that? Because we're talking about people who are named after famous people at 1-800-520-1067. Getting a lot of texts, too. Hello, my name is – this is from the 323. Hello, my name is Eric. I was named after Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid. All right. My mom named my brother Dominic after the main kid from Kindergarten Cop.
Really?
The main kid.
Wow. How about that? Heather writes in, our last name is Griffin. I named my son Blake, same as the Clipper, but not on purpose. My kid is 22. So this is, in other words, this is a situation where it wasn't named after a famous person, but at some point in his life, a person became famous with the exact same name. And we all know the havoc that wreaks on somebody, right?
Yep. Let's go to the phones. We got Ray in La Habra. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
So I named my son Logan after Wolverine.
Oh, I bet that's becoming an increasingly popular name.
Yeah, and it was not easy. My wife was completely against it, and the only reason I wanted Logan was because of Wolverine. And my firstborn son was not Logan because she fought me on it. And we had actually decided on Nixon, and the baby was born. And when my father-in-law came into the delivery room, he asked what the baby's name was. When I told him Nixon, he was pissed. He said, Nixon was a crook. Why would you name your kid Nixon? And that's when I was able to flip it to Logan with my wife's permission.
Oh, see, you come up with a worse name than the name that you want, and then all of a sudden you look like you're compromising.
Smart.
It worked
out
pretty well.
I think I got to feel like the name Nixon is going to be toxic for a few more generations, don't you guys?
Yeah,
I
wouldn't name a kid Nixon.
Now, Kevin, thank you for the call, Ray. We appreciate it. We have a friend who named his daughter Reagan.
Oh, I have a few Reagan friends, females.
Because I think for most people, his image is probably still pretty positive, so you can get away with that, right?
I would think so, yeah.
I know. Reagan's, Kennedy's, Lincoln's.
Let's try Sarah, line 8, please, Los Angeles, up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, here's a name that may have some negative connotations for some people. Let's find out how it worked.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, good morning, party people.
Hi there.
Hi, so me and my cousin are very close, and she's a huge Star Wars fan. So she named her firstborn Anakin.
Oh. Now, we have talked to other listeners who have named their sons Anakin before. And I always have to ask, isn't he kind of the villain of the piece?
Well, kind of?
At the beginning, he's compassionate and wonderful and lovely, but then he turns. So maybe half of his life he'll be lovely, and then he'll go to the dark side.
Sarah's just anticipating later in life when he turns.
Yeah.
Exactly. What do you? And his brother is named Benjamin Luke. So there is.
Wow.
I love your cousin. I love her.
I bet there are so many kids named after characters in the Star Wars movies.
Oh, yeah, sure. I would think so, too. Boba
Fett,
think
about, you know. Well, maybe not that, but right.
Jar Jars.
Leah and some of the other names.
All right. I'll bet we can find a Jar Jar. Oh, no. I'll bet we could.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Here's a text from the 310. My parents named me Camellia because they thought that's what Culture Club was singing in the song Karma Chameleon.
Wow, so they were mistaken and they gave her the name?
I feel like you would just look that up at some point before you put it down on the birth certificate, wouldn't you?
I would think so, yeah.
Let's go to line 4, Encino. This is going to be Jennifer. Always happy to have a Jennifer on the show because, as you know, all Jennifers are hot. Welcome. What's going on?
So, first of all, my name is Jennifer, which is pretty plain.
Right.
But I did find out later in life that it was based on my mom's favorite soap opera character.
Oh.
So that was always great.
Okay.
But we named my daughter Marley after Bob Marley.
Not after the dog?
Oh, dear.
Well, the dog series was after her, but she was 2 or 3, so that was kind of hard to explain to her that it wasn't after the dog. So we never showed her the movie or anything because of that. And even now, when people ask her what her name is, and she says Marley, and they said Marley, and she had to explain like Bob. They're like, oh, okay. And now me and her father don't smoke, and so far right now.
What family that doesn't smoke names their kid after Bob Marley? Get with it, Jennifer. Go smoke some weed.
Her dad asked me about like a day or two before, just because he happened to put on the bar Marley, and he thought, well, that's a great name. Let's name her Marley. And I was like, that's not happening. Well, once drugged up in the hospital, and they asked us for our name.
Yeah, that's when you get them.
Went ahead and put Marley for her name. So they got free range. I also grew up with a lot of girls named Selena because I grew up in South Texas.
Oh, so Selena, sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Everybody was named Selena growing up because, well, obviously, of this singer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that is very interesting. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for listening. All right, we got time for a couple more. Who do you like here, Kevin? Let's go to Dylan. Let's go to Dylan, Santa Clarita, line 3.
Let's go to Dylan in Santa Clarita, line 3. Hey, Dylan.
Hello. Hi. Good morning.
Named after a famous person. What do you got?
Yeah, so my name is Dylan. My mom's a big 80s fan, and so she named me after Matt Dylan, the actor.
After Matt Dylan?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Your phone broke up. I thought you said after Matt Dylan.
It's Matt Dylan.
Are you spelled like Matt Dylan? D-I-L-L-O-N?
No, I'm actually spelled D-Y-L-A-N because she was actually also a fan of
Bob
the
Dylan.
90s show 90210,
okay.
Which Luke Perry was in. And Luke Perry's character is named Dylan, so she's like, oh, okay, I'll just use that spelling.
Yeah, Dylan McKay.
Yeah. By the way, you'll appreciate this. We got a text, Dylan, from the 562. My friend just went to a high school graduation recently, and they announced a Luke Perry Garcia. So apparently you're not the only one who was named after Luke Perry.
There we go. And yeah, my mom was such a big fan of Matt Dillon. I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie The Outsiders.
Sure.
He played a character named Dallas, and my little brother's named
is Dallas.
All right, your parents.
So, wow. Kind of a connection there.
They need, they need to have their naming rights taken away.
I think so. All right, thank you for the call, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. The Bachelorette Report is next with Ralph and P right after this on KROQ.
That is Portugal the Man. We just gave away 5 pair of tickets to see them at the HD Radio Sound Space here at KROQ.
That's going to be a Thursday at 5 p.m., by the way, if you want to watch it at KROQ.com, hosted by our friend Ted Stryker, or you can stream the performance on KROQ HD2. I'm with Ralph, by the way. That is the, I don't, screw Despacito. That Portugal the Man song is the song of the summer.
Boom.
Not for me.
For
that
sure.
Is, that's great stuff.
You know, they're a tour and a headlining a tour this fall.
I yeah.
They just released their big tour information.
All right.
So
yeah.
And see them live.
Good live band, too. All right. It is a Tuesday morning, about that perfect time for the Bachelorette Report. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves the Bachelorette. Yeah. With Petra's Papa Dig is always watching it. Yeah. Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette.
Ow! Woo! So welcome to the program, our friend Petros Papadakis, the man who put Clayton Kershaw in the hospital this week after an interview. How are you, P?
What's cracking? Hey, he shouldn't have worn that tank top. He caught a chill in his back.
Is that what it is? It's not you and Matt interviewing him that cursed him, right?
Well, Matt said it's because we put him in the middle, and he was, like, looking back and forth like a tennis match, and it just twisted him too far.
Oh, he's an athlete, isn't he? Come on.
He's a baseball player.
That's right.
Right, Kevin? Come on.
That's a good point.
Don't forget.
All right, boys, what did we miss last night?
Not
much.
The dog days of Bachelorette.
Is this because there are fewer contestants, so they have to stretch more?
No, this is when they get into actual feelings and stuff.
Oh.
So that's...
Yeah, we're making them feel their feelings, and for many of these people who just want to be on TV, it's very difficult.
Gotcha.
It was the guys' opportunity to meet Rachel's family last night. Three of them got a chance to hang
Where
out.
Where was the dad?
With the Lindsays. Yeah, the judge don't play this way, I don't think.
Was he on the first one?
He did not show up for Nick either that season.
Oh, her father does,
having it. Good
he does not
judge.
Want to be on TV, huh?
He's an actual judge?
He's a judge.
Interesting.
He's a judge in Dallas, yeah. I don't think he...
he's like, nope.
He cottons to this nonsense at all.
Smith's dad was a judge in The Fresh Prince, and he was all over the show.
Yeah, very different.
That was his uncle, okay?
Right? Uncle and very
was
different.
His uncle and auntie in Bel Air.
Yeah, we do know what you mean.
Home, smell you later. So first we had Peter. Peter is going to meet the family. Peter, by the way, is always tagged as business owner on this show, which makes it just seems disturbingly vague for me. Is he a drug runner? Does he sell arms to foreign countries? What business exactly is it that he owns?
Essential oils.
Is it essential oils?
It could be unemployed as well, by the way.
He's a business owner,
yeah,
but
I know.
Say, what kind of business? That's shaky to me.
That is shaky.
It seems devious and sinister somewhat. Anyway.
He's not a dentist.
You know, he's not. He's got that big stray hand gap in between his front teeth. And he's been knocked by Lindsay, Rachel Lindsay, because she hasn't gotten enough from him. He hasn't expressed his love to her yet.
Mm.
So just before they're about to walk into her parents' house, he sits her down on the wall outside the front of the house.
You do mean the world to me. I want you to have so much confidence going into this in us and in me and know that you're introducing a good person that's here for you. And I am falling in love with you.
I'm so happy to hear you say that.
Good.
And I'm falling in love with you too, just in case you didn't know.
I kind of had a feeling.
Whatever.
It's so stupid because if you sit there and don't tell her you're falling in love with her, you get called out for not being ready.
Right.
If you tell her you're in love with her, they're like, well, how could you be in love with her? It's only been a few weeks. It's like, you can't win with this.
Plus, you're one of three. All three of them have to say it.
Yeah,
at this point, right?
Kissing them all in front of her. And what was that bootleg Airport Hilton they kept showing in Dallas?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're staying, but it was odd. Then Eric... It was Eric's turn in the barrel, and he was very upset, Eric. He was very nervous because he hasn't really ever met a girl's family before.
Ever.
He doesn't have a lot of experience in the ways of love, this Eric.
Okay.
And he seemed quite nervous to me.
Today's the day to meet Rachel's family, and I'm excited but nervous at the same time because this is talking about, you know, getting engaged with someone and falling in love, so it's a big step.
Nervous but excited.
Right?
But it was a success.
It was a success.
Correct.
And then it was time for Brian, Slick Brian from Miami, the chiropractor, the Colombian chiropractor.
Gigolo.
And by the way, P, have you been following Cheekgate regarding The Bachelorette? Are you caught up on Cheekgate?
I'm not. What is it?
They believe, there is a rumor, there is a certain percentage of the audience that believes that Brian has had cheek implants.
To give him a bigger butt.
To make his face look like a kite.
No, Kevin. Oh, my Lord. The cheeks on his face. Cheeks.
I was thinking the other cheeks.
What, like a Nicki Minaj ass implant?
Yeah, Kevin was thinking ass implants.
No, to make his face look like a kite.
Yeah, so and there's been rumors, and there's been murmurs, and there's been quiet talk, but no one's really addressed it. Well, last night, Peter, I think, ripped the curtain back on Cheekgate. Peter was talking about Brian. He's not a fan of Brian's, and he was talking to Eric when Brian left the room. Here's what Peter had to say to Eric.
We already know. I've made it very clear that I'm not the biggest fan of Brian. He's got his confident Miami swagger. But in Miami, there's a lot of fake boobs, fake asses, and fake cheeks.
Yeah.
So what that swagger is, I don't know.
Fake cheeks!
Fake asses and fake
See?
Cheeks.
Both.
Yeah, but they're different.
Four cheek implants.
No, just two on his face, Kevin.
All right.
And here's the Brian. Brian's the guy who said, I loved you first. To Rachel, he's very slick. Oh, you're my princess. And everyone doesn't really think this guy's for real. I think he's just playing. And the sister, Rachel's sister.
Constance,
she really does not trust this guy and his fake cheeks.
For me, when I hear after I don't know how many interactions and you're falling in love with someone, that's very hard to believe. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know how genuine this guy is because.
It is fast. It is fast. I'm not gonna knock the way you think. I understand it. I just feel that I'm in love with the person she is. Like, I could see she was obviously raised in an amazing household. You know, I love your family already. I mean, you guys seem like a...
See, that's too... See, all of that's so soon to me. Like, it's only been like an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
An hour and a half. He's like, I love your family. She's like, I don't even buy that now.
It's like he's selling Tupperware.
Yes. Fake cheeks.
Right.
He's selling Tupperware in his cheeks.
I like the sister.
Put the Tupperware upside down and then into your face.
Exactly. Well, at the end, we find out that Peter confronts Rachel about the concept of the show itself, the very basic premise, which is at the end of the show, you're supposed to get engaged.
Right.
And Peter's saying, I'm not going to go there. If we're here together at the end of the show, then I will commit to you to a relationship that hopefully will lead to an engagement and then marriage. But I'm not going to propose.
She should have kept the swami dad. She was going to, my God.
He says, I'm not going to propose to someone at the end of 9 weeks on a show. I'm just not going to do
he's
that.
He's the only one that I would pick. That guy actually makes sense.
But the thirst is so real for marriage and engagement and kids, especially with this bachelorette.
Yes, she wants just that.
That's, right, but she's on a game show to
wants a husband and kids tomorrow. She's got an agenda.
Right.
Well, as you can imagine, these two points of view clash.
Sure.
Engagement is just like, we're getting married, let's just plan the time now.
That's not what that means to me, though.
And I struggle with that, then.
I know you do.
Big time.
So
that's absolutely what an engagement
is. But not for her. She thinks engagement is just, okay, we're going steady or something. It's very odd and frustrating for Peter. And they left us on a cliffhanger. It's to be continued.
They didn't kick anyone off?
This could be a deal breaker. We don't know whether Peter will be able to continue on this journey or not.
She's not saying what she wants to say, which is everybody just has to get engaged and then we'll figure it out.
Yes.
That's what she wants to
say. Play along with the show and then later we'll work on it.
He's trying to use logic, which is why he doesn't belong here in the first place.
Yeah, he's trying to be reasonable and taking this relationship seriously. He doesn't know it's a damn game. He thinks it's a damn life.
He's the only one that's literally there for the right reasons.
He really is, including Rachel.
The first one ever.
Yes.
And that may sink him. That is interesting. Yeah. All right, so how many episodes are left, Ralph?
17.
Two more.
Oh.
Next week, the men tell all. We get everybody back together again. We're going to get Lee and his racist Lee and wrestler Kenny, and they're going to square off against each other.
Yeah, he's going to whisper that you're a bitch at him again.
Bitch.
Bitch.
And then after that, 2 weeks from now, It's the big finale where Rachel makes her final choice.
And 3 hours.
Either gets a ring or doesn't get a ring, or Peter gets a ring and puts it between his teeth. I don't know what's going to happen. maybe Brian will pull a ring out of his cheek. Who knows what he's got stuffed in those cheeks. Anything can happen on The Bachelorette.
The Petras and Buddy radio show airs weekday afternoons 2 to 6 on AM 570 LA Sports P. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Thank you, boys.
Yes, yes.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on The Bachelorette. Ow!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Jay Moore on the show next hour. And don't forget, still to come on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, another brand new TV set, TCL 55-inch P-Series 4K Smart TV that you can win just for listening to this dumb little show. It's all on the way. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Have you seen the TCL screens?
Yes.
The quality, the clarity?
Yes.
It's nuts.
Yes. I think I need one. Can I take one of our giveaways this week?
No, no, no. They're giving away to the listeners, you guys. We have one a day for Kevin to be listeners, not employees.
So if we don't give it away, who's the wiser?
Right.
They don't know. If we don't give something away, they don't know.
All of a sudden, I'm watching a TV at home, and how's anybody going to know that?
First of all, word is bond, first of all. Second of all, there are some lines that you just don't cross.
I heard that.
Everybody's trying to get ratings.
But there's just...
But some lines you don't cross, and this is one of them. As a great man once said.
Right.
Yeah. Remember when you lied like that? Out loud?
Why are you looking at me?
To people?
How come he's looking at me?
Because you're the one that said that. Just bald-faced lied.
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
Is it bald face or bold face?
Never know.
It is bald?
It is bald.
I believe it's bald face, yeah.
I'm good with either.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's great. To consider it a bluff, Ralph, rather than a bald face lie.
No,
It
wasn't a bluff.
It was a bluff.
No, it wasn't a bluff at all. It was a lie. You were saying that's something we absolutely wouldn't do, and you had absolutely done it.
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
I feel like we're sidetracked right now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I'm just saying, those TCL screens are impressive.
You're lying or you're lying. One of you two assholes is lying. I just don't know which one.
Yep.
We're not lying.
Yeah, you are.
No, we're not.
Said Kevin B. Liars. Hey, there's a new Motorhead album in the works. It's kind of cool.
Wait, hold on. Hold up.
Yeah, see a problem with that.
It's not
Lemmy's
a problem
dead
at
still,
all.
Right?
Yeah, but sometimes people record things before they die, and then it gets released.
Oh, okay.
In this particular case, this is an album of Motorhead's cover tunes. Lemmy and the guys always like to do Motorhead versions of some of their favorite songs, and this new album called Undercover collects the best of the Motorhead covers. It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea, yeah.
For example, here's what you can get on the album. There's a couple Rolling Stones songs. David Bowie's Heroes, done by Motorhead.
Okay.
That's never been heard before, by the way. That's never been released, yeah.
Rockaway Beach by the Ramones, their cover. The Sex Pistols' God Save the Queen. If you've never heard Motorhead's cover version of the Sex Pistols' God Save the Queen, you are missing out. I'm going to fix that for you right now. Here's a little taste.
God Save the Queen.
Right?
I mean, I love that song.
It's a great tune and a great version. So if you're looking for new, kind of new Motorhead music, Undercovers. Undercover, rather, is the name of the new album that'll be released in September.
I'll allow it.
I'm sure they'll be happy to hear that. Justin Bieber has canceled the rest of his Purpose World Tour.
A couple of dates?
It's kind of ironic to call a tour your purpose and then you don't follow through, right? No, Kevin, it's all of his North American stadium shows, all of his concerts in Tokyo, Hong Kong, the Philippines, and Singapore.
Man.
Unforeseen circumstances, claim the promoters. Yesterday, TMZ caught up with Justin. He said he needs to rest and maybe ride some bikes. Seems like a good reason to cancel a tour. But don't worry, because when God closes a window, he opens a door.
Okay.
Or when he closes the door, he opens the window. So I don't know how. He should leave them both up and you get a nice cross breeze going through the house, in my opinion. But one tour closes, another one opens. Kathleen Turner has announced her tour.
Who?
Kathleen Turner.
The actress?
That's right.
What kind of tour can she do?
It sounds like James Earl Jones.
She's going to sing the Great American Songbook.
Nope.
Huh.
Finding My Voice is the name of her tour. Opens up in Philadelphia on September the 25th. Oh, can you imagine her singing with that beautiful voice of hers?
No.
Oh, just like when she was young.
When I was in high school, when I was in junior high, actually, they put me with the boys to sing. You know, I couldn't even be an alto. They kind of just put me over with the boys, which was fine. I didn't mind at all.
I didn't mind at all singing with the boys.
Does she play Patty or Selma on The Simpsons? Do you know?
Kathleen Turner.
I'm in.
That's so sad.
I hope she's opening for Cash Me Outside, girl. That way you guys
would be the best double feature ever.
All your entertainment in one evening.
Have we heard her sing ever in anything?
I haven't.
I haven't either.
It does seem a little late in her career to be singing.
It's going to be great.
I'm in. In.
All of me. Why not take all of me? Can't you see? I'm no good without you.
Oh my God.
She should do an album of duets with Doug Kriegel.
I would watch that all night.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ileana Douglas is 52 years old today. And Matt LeBlanc, of course, will always be Joey from Friends to us. 50 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I think about my dogs a lot.
Great story.
You know, little Linus and Veruca, they just had a birthday party out at the beach last week when they turned 9. And I, you know, the expression, a dog's life. I was thinking, my dogs really have a good. Last night I was cutting up baked chicken for them for dinner. And I was thinking, they are living the absolute life.
Yeah.
And now I realize, after I saw this article in the New York Times yesterday, that they are slumming it living
right
in my house. They got nothing. Yeah, they may
your
have their own
life suck.
They may have their own little doggy beds, but you know what they don't have is a dog spa. This article, by the way, has multiple dog spas, and you cannot believe how pampered these pooches are. Here's one in Washington, D.C. that cost $1,000 for 8 days. $1,000 for 8 days. It is a luxury, high-end resort spa for your dog.
Do they provide your dog with a friend and you get to go home with two dogs? Because that's expensive.
It is very expensive. And there are lots of items you can pick from the menu. For $40, a dog can have a water workout and a lap swim. There's also photos. There's sports massages. Mm-hmm. Your dogs can be fluffed and powdered by their size and weight with a blueberry facial, a mud bath treatment, a paw cure, Allie.
Yeah.
Including nail polish, if you want it, by the way.
I mean.
And it just goes on and on and on. The stuff that is going on at these spas, and they're all over the place. Here's one in Texas, for instance, where you have a skylight in your dog's room because your dog gets energy from the sun, for instance.
Yeah.
If your dog doesn't like to sleep alone, you can pay an additional fee to have somebody snuggle with your dog overnight. You hire a human.
Right. There's something going on wrong there.
To sleep with your dog. I'm telling you, it just goes on and on. And I my head's exploding when I see the kinds of money that people have to spend on their pets. So we thought we'd look around, and sure enough, it turns out Dave found a place in Southern California that's one of these high-end dog spas. And I believe we have the manager of the place on the line. Shea Bark is the name of the company. Shea Bark in L.A. Hello there, sir or madam. Are you there?
Hello. How are you?
Good. Well, we're doing well.
Shea Bark, how may I help you?
Who is this, please? Who do we have the pleasure to speak with?
I am Maurice.
What is it?
Maurice.
Okay. All right, Maurice.
Okay.
So we're just dipping our toes into this.
Oh, yes. Dip your toes in our luxurious spa waters.
No, I'm just talking about into the topic. We don't know really anything about dog spas. Maybe you can give an overview for our listeners of what you do there at Shea Bark.
It is the most exclusive, luxurious spa for dogs there is to have.
Right. I just usually we have somebody that takes care of our dog when we're out of town.
They just let him out in the backyard and put down some water and some food.
I'm saying it's a friend that we trust.
Bury it up to its neck in feces.
No. I'm saying
leave it to smelly poo-poo.
No. I'm just saying I don't know that I need a spa.
You do need a spa.
I do need a spa.
Your
we
dirt,
do.
Your dirt needs a spa.
Okay.
You need...
My what does? My dirt? Your dirt? My dirt needs
you
a spa.
You need to leave it with us.
Okay.
And then your dirt will be taken care of with, like, the most joyous time of its whole canine life.
Oh. I feel like some of this stuff humans understand, but is lost. The luxury is lost on a dog
it
at a certain
not
point.
Lost. Every creature on God's earth loves to be pampered and
pampered
and to have pleasure. Uh-huh. And so we provide that for your dog.
All right. Maurice, what kinds of things do you offer there at Shea Bark?
Well, we have it's a 75,000 foot resort.
Oh, wow.
75.
That's huge.
Located on the beach here in Laguna Niguel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And it's 100 rooms. All everyone is a suite.
Okay. Does a dog need a suite?
Yes, it does. Okay. Need a suite. And so we begin the day by expressing the anal gland.
Oh, no, no. Well, no. I mean, that does need to be done for some dogs.
Oh, they love it.
Do they love it? Okay.
And to make it even more pleasurable for them, we make a cat do it. It's more humiliating for the cat, and the dog gets to laugh at the cat. And say, you are my bitch.
Oh, so, so it's a mental health visit as well.
Yes, you get to abuse cats and look
sad.
Down upon them and use them as slaves. And then we pamper them with a facial. I give every dog a facial.
Okay, come careful. On now. Right,
careful
Maurice.
Here.
What? I mean,
what's the facial?
Kevin, don't ask further questions. Let Maurice leave it there.
I just
move
need
on.
A few details.
No.
Peanut butter. I take peanut butter.
No.
And I slather it all over the dog's face.
Okay. What does that do?
It makes their face smell like peanut butter.
Okay.
I don't know why you want that.
People want?
The dogs love it, and then they lick, 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 lick.
Okay.
And then lick, 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 and then facial. That's how that happens.
I see. Okay. It's kind of weird, but all right.
And then they're groomed with their clippers.
Clippers, right.
And we do the polycure with their nails are trimmed and polished.
All right.
And then we look at them. If we don't think they're attractive, we tie a cinder block to them.
No.
Why would you say that?
No!
Oh, come on.
We have no room for ugly dogs here.
That seems bad for business.
People do get a little upset. Yes.
I would imagine. Daymore isn't, I would say, punctual.
He's not... always on time, but he always delivers when he gets here.
Correct.
So we keep inviting him back. So the great Jay Moore is going to be joining us in studio in a couple of minutes here on K-Rock when he arrives. Speaking of comedians, and this is my advice to you, the aspiring radio host. And by the way, we do hear from people from time to time ago. Kevin and Bean, how can I be exactly like you?
I haven't been asked that ever.
I have never heard that.
Not one time.
No. And I always say, if you're not funny, get funny people on your radio show. And man, are we doing that this week. So Jay Moore will be here in a minute. Jordan Klepper on the show tomorrow from The Daily Show. Taylor Williamson also on the show tomorrow. The great Maria Bamford is going to be here on Thursday. Brad Williams on Thursday. Al Madrigal on Friday. And the most hilarious vice president in history, Al Gore. I mean,
is he a hoot?
Is he the funniest? So how's all that for a week of great goddamn comedy guests here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
It is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin, you still subscribe to the National Post, the newspaper from Canada, I'm sure.
Sure.
So you probably have already seen this. There is
I memorize it before I come in.
There is a man named Peter Smith who is an entrepreneur, and yes, I can now say that
word.
He is the CEO of Denison. He worked in London finance for many years, and then he had that million-dollar idea, and he said, screw the rat race. I'm going into business for myself. He has created a company that sells luxury toothpicks.
Yay!
Huh?
What's a luxury toothpick?
Luxury... toothpicks. They are made
from velvet outside?
They are made from American milled northern white birch. They come in six
that
flavors.
Is the best.
Bourbon, single malt, ginger honey, lemon, mint, and cinnamon. Those are the flavors. A four-bottle pack starts at $25.
Oh, wow.
With 12 toothpicks per bottle, that works out to 50 cents a toothpick. In case you're wondering, the plastic toothpicks that you might buy in the supermarket, you can get 250 of them for about $2, less than 1 cent per toothpick. But these are luxury toothpicks.
But they're not really.
But they really are.
I mean, but how?
He is finding that people
are willing. Unless they coat it with weed, I'm not spending that kind of dough.
They are willing. People are willing to pay
weed
a premium.
Toothpicks. I'm writing it down.
See, there you go. There's your million-dollar idea. That helps. People are willing to pay a premium price for his superior product, he says. Huh. Look, there are no numbers in the article about how successful he is. But
successful?
Successful. It seems like this business has been around for a while. The toothpicks come in a thin corked bottle embossed with the company name. One end of the toothpick is charred. Dennison also sells leather carrying cases for your toothpicks. The cheapest is $57. That carries one bottle.
What is in these dudes' teeth?
Who?
Come on.
How many toothpicks do you need?
Do you need a leather case?
And who needs to spend that much money on toothpicks?
The most expensive leather case, by the way, holds six bottles of toothpicks, and it goes for $456.
Wow.
For the leather satchel that you put your toothpick bottles in.
I'm a little suspect of the idea that they didn't put any numbers in. Because if they were selling a lot, they'd put that up front.
Very proud.
Yeah.
Don't
have sold none is my guess.
Can't answer that. He seems to have expanded the product line as the business has been in effect. I don't know. He describes toothpicks as a fashion accessory with utility. You have a really nice meal, you finish with a toothpick, he says.
A fashion accessory. A fashion accessory. That's ridiculous. It's a toothpick.
Are you bringing toothpicks like to restaurants, to dinners?
Yes. Apparently, and this National Post article, I urge you to look it up because it goes very deep into the history of toothpicks. And apparently, having a toothpick.
Yeah, I'm going to get right on looking that up.
Well, you already memorized it, Kevin. No. You don't need to. Having a toothpick used to be a sign that you were rich enough to eat at a fancy restaurant. Only the wealthy had toothpicks.
Huh.
People would see a guy standing outside a restaurant picking his teeth, and they would think, oh, that dude's well off. So poor people aspired to have toothpicks. Now it's the other way around. You see people with a toothpick, and you think, oh, maybe that's a lower class, lower income person. But Mr. Smith is trying to bring it back, is what I'm saying. So you might want to check it out if you're looking for that special something for a hard-to-buy person on your gift list.
Maybe I'm dibsing that for everybody for Christmas.
Maybe it's time to get some luxury toothpicks.
You're not getting the $400 case. Sorry.
Oh, we got to get our own case?
Yeah.
Do you approve, Jay Moore? We brought you on with a tender love song. You like that?
Yeah, I'm like, I got a single tear. I got Morrissey leaning over my shoulder, breathing heavy. We're in line at the glory hole on Lancashire. And that's the name of the new, you perked up when I said that.
It sure did.
Yeah, I remember the glory hole with my Portuguese friend. He was my cousin.
I like butt stuff talk.
I like butt stuff too, but who said butt stuff?
Oh.
Really, yeah, I brought my dog. She sniffs butts.
Jay Moore is here with his adorable dog, Mabel. It's been a while since we've seen you. You got a big week, though, playing at the Flappers Comedy Club on Thursday night and at the Hollywood Improv on Saturday night. Tickets for both shows available, flapperscomedy.com and improv.com. How you been, Jay? What's going on, man? What's new?
I've been good. You know, I got, I'm discovering a lot of new, you know, when you get a divorce, it's like discovering Montana. You step out of the car, you go, there's so much room for me. I could just like move around and like you get to do illicit and salacious things like see your friend Charlie's 3-year-old who you like, oh, that's what your kid looks like. Great. I didn't go anywhere. I just walked up and downstairs trying to make everybody happy. But let me tell you something.
Yes.
You know, I got a shop for myself. Well, I did the shopping, but, you know, there's a caste system at the grocery stores. Have you guys
is
know?
Is there?
It? Yeah. Feather duster. It's binary. Feather duster or knife. You go to any grocery store, guy's got either a big knife. It's like, ever see like a white guy who's like super skinny, but he's got a big fat ass, disproportionate, khaki pants, these guys. Like a fat ass white guy where it's not like a fat ass, but it's disproportionate to his like skinny Jerry Springer body.
Right.
And he's got the feather duster. And you're like, hey, where's the orange Gator. No, you know, where's the orange Gatorade or whatever? And he goes, hold on, I'll be with you in a second. And then, you know, like a 6 foot six, like a power forward comes out of the back with like a machete. He's like, you want to, I got a new box. And he just like murders a box of Gatorade and opens it. You never notice these two?
I have never noticed that. No.
Those are the two types. Feather Duster guy, for sure.
Wow.
For
sure. You like that? You like butt stuff. You like the big fat A. You
like the big fat A. Dusting cans. It's very odd.
Whose cans?
Right.
Don't wear glue. Okay. Home Depot's got the best. This is none of this is my act, by the way.
Okay.
By the way, Flappers live. I had a stroke. Sorry. Do you guys smell toast?
Are the lights flickering?
Eep, op, orc means I love you. Flappers is a live More Stories podcast with Jeff Cesario,
who we used to work with. Did you know that?
I did.
He's on our show.
He spoke very highly of you guys.
Because I didn't remember how it went.
Yeah, I made it up. He didn't remember either.
Okay, good. Jay, it was like 20 years ago, the very funny Jeff Cesario did sports on this show as Chet Waterhouse.
Chet Waterhouse.
He still does today, right?
Leather Speedos. Yeah, he never runs out of like sponsors when he does that character. It's amazing.
He was very talented. We liked Jeff a lot, but we kind of lost touch with him. He went into TV writing or something, right, for a number of years?
Well, yeah, as you call winning like 7 Emmys going into.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that's what he's been doing, which is why we haven't seen him much, because he hasn't been doing as much stand-up as he did.
He wrote for Dennis Miller the way Chaucer wrote for the Canterbury and his Tamp. I like doing Dennis Miller now without ever finishing any reference. Like, yeah, it's good. JJ's 10 minutes late to Kevin and Bean, and Dave, the king of Sal Salvador, goes, hey, cheap chop, chipmunk, chip, poppy, boop, boop, boop. Hit the post, deathbed, conga line.
That's what Dennis Miller does now?
Or that's what you do now?
That's what I'm doing as him, because I'm too tired to think of actual Dennis Miller riffs.
That is a Thursday night at Flappers Comedy Club. Jeff Cesario and Jay Moore together.
I do 20 minutes, he does 20 minutes, then we sit down and we dissect comedy like Stephen Hawking talks about space, except we don't cheat on our wives. He cheated on his wife.
He left his wife for the nanny, right?
Yeah. No, it was a nurse that like wiped him and kept him clean, and he's like, thank you. Could you lick my forearms? Cleaned it up. Man. I almost got kicked off. He can only speak using his iris. And he's got a lady doing untoward things with him. He always looks like a toy that didn't get put away properly. It's like, that mom and dad are coming home. Put Steven away quick. And the dad comes in like, who's playing with Steven? We weren't. That's not how I left him. Wipe his mouth. And I can make fun of him because he cheated on his wife. He's a scumbag.
I thought at the time when that movie came out, and I thought that was a really, really good movie. What was that called? Theory of Everything, right? Mm-hmm. I thought at the time how there must have been so many guys who went to that film who thought, I can't get a girl. And here's a guy who is paralyzed from the eyes down, who was able to cheat on his wife with a hot nanny, or hot nurse, I should say. It must have been very disappointing for some people.
Well, yeah, when he cheated on the nurse with a nanny, that's why he got nanny. He cheated twice. He's a real...
Is that right?
He's a
baller.
South Carolina Gamecocksman. It's amazing.
Well done.
Home Depot, you ever been to Home Depot?
Yeah, been to Home Depot.
Sure, I went for the first time to get like a flower pot.
Uh-huh.
That caste system, like the flower stuff, like for your home... That's like in the parking lot. Like, you can't even come in if you're going to, like...
They put that outside,
If you're going to weak knee us and come in here with your labias, you can just... All right. You have to go Colin Quinn the whole time. But if you want to go in the deep end, you got to be like, I am building an ark, you know? I live in Oxnard. And they go, you got to go in the back. There's a golf cart to take you to the other Home Depot. There's a Mexican guy named Noah, and he's going to tell you everything about cubits. Then, you know... Nail gun stuff's in the middle for the people that want to buy plants. And that's as far as I've thought that through on my drive in.
I like it very much, though. I had a question I wanted to ask you, Jay Moore.
Hi, it's Louis. Hi, question. Hey.
What's happening now?
He's Louis Armstrong.
Or Armstrong?
What's your question, B?
I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but I was fascinated to see that you had on your very popular More Stories podcast, first brother Roger Clinton. A name I haven't heard in years.
One of the best discussions, loving, beautiful.
What did you learn about being in that inner circle of the White House from the years that his brother was president?
Yeah, I saw your tweet about that.
It's
you said,
the
one
first
of your best.
Time I one did a live, you know, I do readings. It's ancillary, like intuitive. I don't want to say, there's no such thing as a psychic, but I can, I don't like the word life coach either. It's gross. But
you do readings for real? Because I thought that was like a comedy thing.
No.
You do readings.
It's like I change your eyeglass prescriptions and you go, people go, I go, I feel one word emotion only. I have them write this because, and you can write as long as you want. And I tell them before, like nobody ever gets that sentence right. Ever.
Right.
Ever. And then I asked them, can you accept that you're an entirely loving being filled with compassion? You don't act out of spite. You put other people first. You're at the end of the line because you're an empath. You feel bummed out about that. And if you believe in God, he or she is very, very happy with you. And you'd be amazed how many people negotiate away from the good. Like, well, I don't love them all, love. And it's like, well, I can't help you then because that's just subjective. It's not subjective, you know? And then I ask six yes or no questions only so they can't go, well, yeah, you steered them towards that because you right. told them that. It's like yes or no only.
And when did you start doing this? When did you realize that this was something you could do?
I used to do it like in between shows, like not to get laid, but like a waitress would come in and I'd be like, hey, what's going on with you know,
you could just get a sense of
something. I know when there's an absence. I know when there's somebody like present with them or whatever. I know it sounds incredibly bizarre.
I mean, it sounds straight crazy.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
why?
Like, these two don't believe anything like that. I do.
Like Tony Robbins, I would bury in his own room.
Okay.
He's got plants and one-on-one. You know, it's like Kung Fu. There's no energy. Like I kind of empty. And then I just go like, well, there's like a real absence here.
Right.
It's like you're missing a tooth, but it's in the back, but I can see it, not the front, where everybody.
Allie, what are you hearing that Jay is saying that is making sense to you?
No, I get people that have intuitive senses and can sense things about people.
If you listen to the
Roger
Clinton
that.
Episode, you will hear me give him a reading
okay.
on the podcast.
And was it dead on? Like, how, was he surprised and how did it?
Yeah, it was, I feel whatever it was that he didn't get right. Nobody does. Because it's like you don't really – it's like Springsteen, that secret garden. You don't want anybody to in on it. And what I do is after the – I've never gotten to five yes or no questions. And then I go, is this safe to say? And then I rewrite their thing for them. And then they cry.
Was he surprised wow. to hear that he came on your podcast and was psychoanalyzed by the host?
I don't know. It was really loving. Like he was just a really great dude. And I just vibed out early like – every time he mentions mother, it was like it was like somebody was sitting on my chest. Like that was the most powerful woman in that town. You know, Virginia, I think her name was.
Yes, that's exactly right. And Bill worshipped her and was very close
and
with her.
So
also.
Did Roger. Like when he said her name, I just felt like, oof, ow! Like this is a scab that is never going to, you know.
I regret that we're not going to have as much time to get into this as I hope, but is this something that surprised you that you developed this intuition, or is this something that you worked to be able to develop, something you tried to learn how to do?
It's like a lawyer that only takes cases he knows he can win. It's if I feel it, I'll say to the person, I know I can help you. More stories, 3737 at Gmail if you want to do it. And I've had like CEOs, I hope you like the... You know, I didn't know we were going to not do jokes.
because you're an interesting guy, Jay.
And you
have an interesting life, and you're doing...
You know, what about that hot fudge holy moly button you guys... Yeah, that's interesting there, you know. More stories, 3737@gmail.com. I can help you. And
you can do it through email? Or you have to do it in
person?
I
can, actually, because it's very telling. People email me things, and I'm like, I just see... It's like code break. It's like simple math. You know, if you can see it, you can see it. Like, there's just certain things they write. I had it real quick. There was a CEO in Denver, and it's a non-disclosure. I'll sign up front. And I feel, one word emotion, angry that I can't see my father in the hospital because my sister's a drug addict. I got too many kids. I run this whole giant conglomerate company. Blah, 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 blah. And I just went, your dad wasn't around. When you were a kid, if he was around, he was completely apathetic, didn't show any. No, he wasn't around. He goes, no. I go, that's it. Don't say anything else. And then I said, you realize your sister's drug addiction, the three C's, you didn't cause it. You can't control it. You'll never cure it. And you realize it has no bearing on your life whatsoever. And he goes, yes. And I go, well, then, is this safe to say I'm terrified to see my father in the hospital because when he dies, he will have abandoned me again. And he's like, oh, my God. And I just gotten divorced.
And he started bawling.
Could you pay me cash? And he's like, what? I go, no, I'm just trying to lighten the mood. But, you know, that's the only money I keep.
Wow.
This is the kind of hilarious comedy you'll see on stage.
You want hilarious comedy? Jay Moore's hilarious. He's going to do Forrest Whitaker.
He is hilarious. Flappers Comedy Club. More stories.
The tour was taken.
Live taping with Jeff Cesario. That is $20 at flapperscomedy.com Thursday night and at the Hollywood Improv Saturday night. Tickets available at improv.com. One quick question from a texter listening to you right now, Jay, from the 562. Ask Jay Moore, what's up with him always periscoping with his shirt off in the bathroom all the time?
Well, they call it shaving. It's really weird if you do it with your shirt on.
Right, but why do you periscope that?
Because I want the gays.
You were at a hotel in San Francisco.
I want the gays to come in.
All right. Well, asked and answered.
Look at how many between the poetry. Well, I'm really turning into a
Jay reads poetry, too. Writes and reads poetry.
It's good stuff. What? Right. Like, you got to hit the post?
Yeah, we're out of time.
You asked me the question, then halfway through the answer. Sorry, kiddo.
That is
Joe
correct.
Joe Franklin. Jay Moore is my guest. And, of course, we have to go.
JayMoore.com on Twitter at JayMoore37. We love you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Ask that texter why he's touching himself while I have my shirt off shaving on my purse.
Okay, we will. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Got a brand new TV, a 55-incher from our friends at TCL that you can win coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can't even believe it, by the way. Giving away Metallica tickets, Portugal the Man tickets. Okay, yeah, I get that. Brand new TVs for folks' walls? That's what we're doing on the show all this week?
Yes.
Yeah, for their walls.
Well, where do you put your TV?
Not them bare floor TVs. Where them wall TVs.
I think it's a very good prize, is what
I'm
saying.
It is a very good prize.
We all agree on that.
K-Rock.
It's news that people hang TVs on their walls.
I'm going to tell you, the last TV that I bought, came out and said...
Came on a stand, and we put it in the corner with rabbit ears.
You have your choice. It comes on a stand for people who choose to put it on a stand rather than on a wall.
No one in Southern California puts their TV on a stand.
I'm just saying the TV that I bought...
You're one good tumbler away from a lot of glass on your floor.
Well, I'm just telling you what happened. So
here's the thing. Pretty good TV, giving it away.
That's the thing.
TCL's
exactly.
Best.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, Silver Sun Pickups have announced a tour. How about that?
Oh, I like them so much.
Me too. Tour gets underway October the 21st in Santa Cruz, California. And then lucky for them, tour wraps up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on November the 19th. Oh, it's going to be so good for them. On November the 19th.
Because they're going to be in Philly?
Yes. Lucky bastards.
You're going back to Philly soon, aren't you, Ralph?
I'll be there in November as well. I'm now in the Silver Sun Pickups.
How about that?
Who knows? Heard or not.
What do you play?
Which part? The vibraphone.
The vibraphone?
Yes.
Kind of a specialty item to take a vibraphonist on the road with you.
Well, they needed it. No, I'll be there November the 3rd. Performing Hollywood Babylon there.
All right.
And then Boulder, Colorado in December. That should be a good time. Colorado in December?
Sure.
Yum.
Good planning. I saw you're putting so many wintertime dates up for the traveling circus that is Hollywood Babylon. Yes. I'm wondering if you, at some point, you're going to just tell us you've quit because it looks like you're doing more
weekends.
Than...
Weekends.
You're just flying out every weekend?
Yes.
All right.
It's called working, man. Working for a living.
All right.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Seems like I call yourself Daddy. Reminds me of Bean, and that's a really bad thing.
But I'm an actual daddy.
Right.
So?
But it reminds me of...
Of daddy like it guy?
Yep. The guy who's not a daddy and
right.
calls himself daddy?
Who says daddy likey. Those
well,
two
look,
words. Right.
If there's a maniac out there chopping people up, calling himself a doctor, doesn't mean a real surgeon can't call himself a doctor.
All right. I can see that.
All right?
All right.
So just think of being as a maniacal, murdering doctor.
I don't want anything else today to get as tense as that just got.
Right. I miss Adam. Modern Family fans, good news. The kids have just wrapped up their deals to do two more seasons of the show. I didn't realize this, that when the grown-ups renewed their deal with ABC for two more seasons of Modern Family, that the kids hadn't signed.
Oh.
I would have been nervous had I known that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
It would have been a bunch of them walking around saying... Oh, I sure do miss the kids off at summer camp. Oh, Manny. Don't you remember when Manny used to live here? Now he's in that military school. There have been a lot of awkward moments on the show.
Is it just the two of them?
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, no, Allie
like,
McKay.
Who's considered a kid?
Rico Rodriguez.
Okay.
Sure. Manny, of course.
Manny, sure. Uh-huh.
Nolan Gould, who plays the boy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
Whatever his
Come
name
on.
Is.
Come on. We all watch the show. What's his name? Now, why is it not coming to us? It's the boy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's got two sisters.
It's Claire
Paulson.
And uh-huh. It's Claire's Sinan. Son.
Mm-hmm.
Paulson.
Claire and Phil's son.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Curly hair.
Oh.
He is
adorable. Oh, come on, Danny. Come no, on. That's not it. Oh. Where's Luke?
Luke! Dumpy!
I knew his last name.
That worked. I was going to mock you for actually starting.
No, I was trying to pretend I was Ty Burrell in my head.
Bizarre, and it worked.
All right. Sarah Hyland.
Yes.
And Ariel Winter.
I would think they would be old enough to be considered adults and have their deals
done
at the same
time. They're all 18, but they play the kids on the show, Allie. They're the children of the parents.
That.
They negotiated separately is his point.
And I don't want to muddy the waters, but what about little Lily? Doesn't she count as one of the kids?
The kids who play Lily and Joe, the other little kids, the Sofia Vergara kid that she had with... we're really selling Jay. This one, aren't we? Jay Pritchard. They came on later in the show, so they still have time left on their deal.
So they'll be there as well.
They will already be there because they still have years on their contract that remain from when they signed their initial deal. Okay. But everybody's the rest of the cast, their deal was all up this season, and so they had to renegotiate in order to get the next two seasons.
I'd just like to say that we take for granted that show because it's been around forever. It's a miracle still that it's as funny as it is.
Remarkably well written and well acted. It is one of the funniest shows on television still.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Nope.
It's way too complicated. I'm just saying parents and children alike, everyone will be there for two more years.
Everyone's in.
Okay?
Love it.
Whew, man. You people.
I mean, that's on you. You couldn't think of a single name.
Why do some people tune out?
Today's celebrity birthday is Ileana Douglas is 52 years old today. Matt LeBlanc.
I'm telling you guys, he's got a show, and it's called Man with a Plan, and it's on CBS prime time now.
Care. No, it's not.
You guys refuse
There's
to
no
believe it, but I'm telling you, it's a show.
Man with a Plan.
That's alleged.
And no, it's not alleged at all. It's on TV. It's
Nobody's
real.
Nobody's manning a show of Man with a Plan.
God, that's such a big liar.
Somebody look it up. It's true.
Nope.
And it's Matt LeBlanc. He's the guy.
Liar.
It's CBS. Like, they're still on television.
They still have a network.
Nope.
They tell me their own radio stations.
Well, not many. Not for long.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
In 5 minutes, we'll give you the opportunity to call in to win yourself a brand new TV, a 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV coming up in 5 minutes on K-Rock. First, though, who's ready for some great news?
This is the great news theme.
I like it.
Kevin, you want to explain for people who are not used to hearing us say good and positive and decent and heartwarming, fuzzy, warm and fuzzy things. What's going on here?
We're saying all of those things that you just mentioned.
Okay.
There's a lot of bad news in the world, so we're trying to bring you some great news. Mine is a dozen homeless people have been reunited with their families thanks to a startup company that is helping homeless people. 15 people living on the streets have been reunited with their families thanks to social media and the efforts of this volunteer organization. It's called Miracle Messages, and they record brief videos of homeless people, and they're telling their stories, and they're saying who their family is that they're trying to get a hold of. Mm-hmm. And then these people and social media are finding family members and reuniting them with the people on the street.
Aww. Now, that is...
How amazing is that?
That is interesting to me. So you're telling me the guy on the corner with the tin cup...
Yes.
...may have no idea where his relatives are anymore and has very limited resources to reach out and find them.
Right.
So this is kind of a go-between between him and the people who may be in the same situation, live in some place, and don't even know whatever happened to their guy.
Here's audio of one of the homeless people that's giving a little speech to try and find his family.
This is a cry out to my dad. I'm sure you know everything that's going on with my situation right now. You know, I'm going through the same thing that you went through when I didn't see you some years. I love you. I can't wait to see you. And I'm looking for you with all my heart. Whatever it is that I need to do to get back to y'all, I'll do it. I'm just trying to find out what it is, y'all. And to my wife, I love you too.
So he's saying to his dad and to his wife, this is me. I'm on the street. I need help. Out of the first 30 messages that they put up, they reunited 15 people.
That's amazing.
I don't know about great news, but that's not great audio.
No, I mean, they could mic it better.
Oh, Bean, good Lord.
Well, first of all, you got all the...
That's your freaking takeaway.
I got all the traffic.
I just told you that 15 out of 30 people have been reunited with their family.
It's a huge number. That's amazing.
Right, but pull this guy out of the street, first of all, so you don't have all those cars. And what's with the lady singing at him, too, by the way, at the same time?
I'm a terrible human being.
I'm just saying more people would get reunited if we could hear the dude.
Here's the website. It's miraclemessages.org. miraclemessages.org. And you can see people that are there, and they're trying to connect with their families, and this is a way to help them. And I think that's great news.
All right.
Allie McKay, you're up next.
Great news has to do with weddings, which, from what I understand, aren't super fun to plan. And for the bride, there's a lot that goes through your head. You're not quite sure where you're at half the time. But at least you've got your dress, right? Your dress, you picked it out, probably went through tons of dresses, finally landed on the one.
And that's usually the centerpiece of a woman's wedding dream, is
absolutely
that perfect wedding dress.
Absolutely. Well, what happens when the wedding dress company goes bankrupt and leaves thousands of brides without their dress?
I saw this national company news that just went under and just with no notice just locked the doors.
No notice whatsoever. Women were showing up to pick up their dress that day and the doors were locked. A company called Alfred Angelo, one of the largest wedding dress manufacturers in the nation.
But brides won't panic in that situation.
No, not at all.
They can just pull anything off the rack and be happy, right?
Absolutely. But a couple different dress companies said, you know, come in, we'll give you a discount. That was nice. But what happened on Twitter was phenomenal. Other brides got wind of this, and they would post pictures of them in their wedding dress and say, this is a size 8. All I need is for you to send shipping and handling, and it's yours for your big day.
Wow. So someone would essentially lend out their own wedding dress to a perfect stranger.
Absolutely.
Just because they saw what they were going through, losing the dress that they had planned.
Yeah, just a couple of the tweets. If you're an Alfred Angelo client scrambling for a dress, here's my size 18 Cinderella ball gown. I'll send it to you just for shipping and handling. DM me. Another one. Hello, bride. Size 2 slim dress fit. It's available for those ripped off by Alfred Angelo. I have multiple bridesmaids' dresses as well. I mean, hundreds of people that were saying, oh, my God, I can't even imagine what you're going through. Take my dress. That's a beautiful thing. That's social media done right.
And it's
great news.
All right. And finally, in this edition of Great News.
Come on.
I gotta
sell it. Sell it. Sell it.
Great news. Oh, now you don't. You got to give me the echo now. You tell me to sell it, and then you don't give it to me.
All right. Try it again.
Great news.
All right.
So you didn't
sell it.
This was a, I'm not going to lie, a stunning email to receive. And I hesitate to use even this listener's first name because I don't know how much of what he is going through is common knowledge to his friends and family.
Yeah, I won't
use it, just to be on the safe side. We talked a lot on Friday, and we were all still in a great deal of shock over the loss of our friend, our professional and personal friend Chester Bennington, who, as you know, lost his life to suicide on Thursday. And we talked a lot on our show on Friday morning, and K-Rock did throughout the day and all weekend long about, look, everybody goes through those times where they feel like there's too much burden on you. It's too much pressure. There's no way out. You can't survive this, and you end up making that fatal final decision. But there is help available for you, and we constantly gave out and continue to give out to people who call or whatnot. We have it up on the website, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-TALK. If you're super depressed and you need help, you just want somebody to talk to about it, that's the number to call. All right, so we did all that. And we did it because we knew that there are lots of people, millions of people around the world, experience the kinds of feelings that led Chester to take his own life. If there's any way we can help, we wanted to help. Well, this listener writes in and says, I'm an electrical engineer in Long Beach. I have PTSD. I was emotionally abused throughout my entire childhood that I have battled to this day. I just wanted to let you guys know that the support you have for people like me going through tough times is amazing. Without going into too much depth, you guys giving that information out about the suicide hotline and finding help when in times of crisis saved my life last night.
Wow.
Thank you so much. I'm a longtime listener from 1994. Every day until now, I have always loved you guys. Keep up the good work and stop being such a dick to Bean. And that's really why I read this email, is because thank you for that. Yeah, hell right. That's the takeaway here. The thought that we gave out that phone number and it literally hit the ears of somebody who needed it that day shows how important awareness is of services like this, not only the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, but all of the other organizations. And we heard from people who work for some great, great groups in Southern California where they are available. There is help out there. And Allie, I know we talked about a lot on Friday that sometimes people around the person is that is depressed, it doesn't help to say, oh, look on the bright side of life, or, oh, you have so much to live for, because the person can't see that at that moment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you feel like you can't do anything for that person. What you can do is help spread the word, as we're trying to do, that there are professionals who do know what to say in that situation and who can provide some hope and some help. And here's proof from this one, God bless him, this listener who took the time to write in and tell us that that message was received. And thank God this guy is still alive to be able to type that, right?
Yep.
So thank you, Anonymous Kevin and Bean listener, and we hope that you continue to use those resources that are available and get help, and you have a long and happy life, and we thank you so much. And this has been Great News.
You almost sold it that time.
Good. All right, thanks.
We're going to give away a TV, a TCL 55-inch HDR 4K smart TV. We're going to play a game next. Do we give them a hint? If you're a fan of TV dramas.
There you go.
How about that? If you're a fan of TV dramas, call now, 1-800-520-106.
I know it sounds too good to be true, but once again this morning, right now, in fact, we're giving you a 55-inch TCL 4K HDR smart TV. It's as easy as calling us at 1-800-520-1067. I think the only reason we're doing this game, if we're all being honest, is how much Omar liked the intro name, right?
Which he came up with, which is Save the TV Drama for Your Mama.
Save the TV Drama.
All right, callers on the line, we are going to be looking for you to identify a drama, a famous television drama. And I can tell you that these are all award-winning shows that have all been on for multiple seasons. As I look at this list, I don't think there's anything that was on for less than 5 or 6 seasons. So these are shows you've heard of, shows you probably watched. How's it working, Kevin? We're playing a scene from the show, and all you have to do is identify that drama, and you go into the drawing to win the new TV, right?
That's correct. Let's start with Ruben in Los Angeles. Hi, Ruben.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready? We're going to play you a clip of a TV drama that's very successful. You just have to identify it.
All right, sounds good.
All right, here you go.
This is probably the last time we'll ever speak. Jack, you do understand when you hang up, for all intents and purposes, Jack is dead.
Mr. President, it's been an honor.
Ooh, I got chills. What is that, Ruben?
I don't know.
I mean, there was the name Jack and a mention of a president, if that helps you.
I mean, it's not that
the
old.
The problem is, 24. That's 24.
Thank you for calling, though, Ruben. We appreciate it.
I mean, it is difficult in that maybe they didn't watch the show, so how do you identify it? All right, let's go to John in West Covina. Hi, John.
John M.
John M., okay.
Oh, I was told there were two Johns, that's why.
Okay. You're John M.
And you're the troublemaking John, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, you're nothing but trouble. All right, are you ready for your clip?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
And Teddy told me the most important idea in advertising is new. Creates an itch. You simply put your product in there as a kind of calamine lotion.
All right.
That voice. Mm. He's so effing awesome. Am I right, you guys?
Yes.
John M.
Was that Mad Men?
It was Mad Men.
Nicely done. Hold on. Right.
You are in the drawing. Closer to getting that brand new TV. Thank you for listening. Hold on. Who's next?
Let's go to Chad in Huntington Beach. Hi, Chad.
Hey, how's it going?
You know what we're doing?
Save the TV drama for your mama.
I got to be honest. I didn't think he'd go funky with that one.
Famous award-winning television drama. I almost bet you watched this show. Listen up and identify it.
Are you in the mafia?
That's total crap. Who told you that?
I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusimano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusimano kids ever find $50,000 in Krugerrands and a .45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
I'm in a waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up.
Oh, I miss that show so much. Chad, what is it?
That's The Sopranos.
That is
the show. Worst ending.
Hey, man, don't stop believing.
Thank you, Chad. F. U. Bean. Let's go to John F. in Valencia.
Hey, what's up?
Hey there. Are you ready for your show?
Bring it.
All right, here you go.
School teacher cancer, desperate for money.
Okay, we're done.
Roped into working for, unable to even quit.
I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Come on!
John F., one of the greatest scenes from one of the greatest shows of all time. What is it?
From one of the greatest actors, Bryan Cranston, Breaking Bad, baby!
All right, you heard it, Roy.
TV drama for your mama.
Well done.
All right, let's go to Jose and Reseda. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on is...
Save the TV drama for your mama.
All right, here's your show. Identify it.
Those blood slides that I found in your apartment, they look like the ones we found in Dokes' car.
Deb, I only kill certain kinds of people, like Travis. Deb, Dad taught me. He gave me a code.
All right.
Jose, what is it?
Dexter.
Oh, yeah, I love that show so much. All right, congratulations, you're in the drawing.
I think we got time for one more.
All right, let's make it Ash in Los Angeles. Hi, Ash.
Hi, guys.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here you go.
What is it?
Explosion at a power substation. Multiple burn and blast victims, 3 minutes out.
How many?
At least 8.
Make sure they clear the trauma rooms. Jerry, get the blood bank to send all their O neg. Dawn, make sure we have enough morphine and rapid infusers.
CIA.
All right. Name of that show, please.
Tough one. ER?
ER is
yes,
correct.
Yes, it is ER.
Yes.
Save the TV drama for your mama.
Not a tough one at all, but thank you, Ash. Appreciate that. You and Jose and John F. and Chad and John M. are all in the drawing for the brand new TCL TV. America's fastest growing TV brand, don't you know? Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Chad.
Yeah. Chad. Congratulations, Chad.
Oh, awesome. You guys are awesome.
Brand new TV.
I can't wait to watch a drama.
And thanks for playing the game.
Save the TV drama for your mama.
Oh, oh. LA NOC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What is going on, my friend?
Bond. James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
Ding 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 ding
ding ding ding. We may have talked about this before, but is there any movie series that has more installments in the franchise than James Bond?
Yes, Madea.
I know that just feels that way.
Oh, maybe not, Ben.
I mean,
this
what's
be Bond
up
25.
To? 25 Bond movies in a 25. Series.
I mean, and it feels like it could go on forever as long as they keep
it will go
sure.
on.
Quality up.
Yeah. It will go on forever, absolutely. Just announced, Bond 25. That may be a placeholder. That may not be the final title. Might okay. be just a title in the works. James Bond 25. I think that would be the final
I suspect title. You're right, yes.
Will be released on November 8th.
All right, November 8th. That's not so far.
It's right around the corner. What, 4 or 5 months? Yeah, I love it.
2019.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said November 8th.
Yes, November 8th.
2019.
You're saying 2019. The year 2019.
2019.
Is when that's coming out.
Yes.
In November.
So
the end
this
of that
November.
Year. Okay.
Not the
but
next
the year
November.
No, nope, not then.
Then almost the end of that next year after that.
I see.
Then you'll get to see that. Part of the problem, they don't have a Bond or a script or a director. But other than that.
This is America. I want it now.
Right?
Other than that, they're in good shape.
All right.
That's balls, by the way.
Just to, putting just out
say,
that announcement?
Yes. To yeah. say, this film's coming out. But you don't have a star or a writer or a director. I know, but it's coming out. I guess that's one way to motivate yourself to get something made is to say,
Kimmy, 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 Kimmy.
I agree with that guy.
And while we're talking about franchises and installments, people still talking about the news that broke at Comic-Con over the weekend where Ivan Reitman said there may be yet another live-action Ghostbusters with the original Ghostbusters down the road.
What? Is that right?
He had a panel and talked about the fact that there are existing plans for an animated feature. He said that we're deep in design on already, has a really great story, and of course we're also working on a new live-action film, but I'm not giving any more secrets away, he said.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
He also said there was a real possibility of using CG, computer graphics, to recreate the role of Egon, who of course was the late Harold Ramis.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you that I am surprised, now that the technology exists, that we do not see that done more frequently in films.
Well, here's the thing. It's not that believable. Did you see Rogue One?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
Peter Cushing, you'd say, oh, well, look at that odd special effect I'm watching of that guy. It's just it's not there. I don't know if it ever will be there. I think there is a quality of humanity that's captured photographically that you just cannot replicate, even with the best of visual effects. I think it's wildly distracting.
But we have accepted lots of other, I mean, for 80 years we saw monsters fighting and it didn't look real, but we still were able to suspend disbelief enough to enjoy the monster fight.
But monsters aren't real. So you say. You can accept whatever they present to you as their monster. Mm-hmm. But most people, not you, Bean, but a lot of people have other human beings in their life that they can compare that to whatever they see up on the screen.
I only know digital humans.
I know. I know you live with that plug in the back of your head.
Where's the plug?
It's in the back.
Okay.
And so I think there is that automatic disconnect where your brain is able to immediately separate a real human being from a replication of a human being.
That's so interesting. I mean, I think you're right, but why are they able to make Caesar in the Planet of the Apes movie look so much like a real gorilla, yet they can't make a person look so much like a person? Why is it so much more difficult, I wonder, to do a person?
Don't know.
Just is, all right?
Once again, I think it's much easier to accept a machine, or an animal, or a monster, or any number of other things that can be created with visual effects, then it is a human being. Because there's a phrase for it. It's called the Valley of Something.
Dolls.
No.
The Shadow of Doubt.
No, not Shadow of Doubt.
Valley of Death.
No! Stop! You don't know what it is, so stop guessing.
San Fernando.
A Valley Girl?
No! There is there's a psychological explanation. There's an actual thing that talks about the separation. The closer something gets to being human,
mm-hmm.
the more your mind and eye picks up on the subtle differences between that and a real human being.
It's called the Uncanny Valley.
The Uncanny Valley is what it's called.
I'm unfamiliar with that expression, but it makes sense.
You just looked it up?
I did.
Huh.
The Uncanny Valley is something that it's
so it's natural for your mind to
it's
not.
It's counterintuitive, but the closer it gets to looking human, the more you recognize the differences between that thing and a real human being. So if it's far away, if it's a robot or a machine or a monkey or whatever it is, you can imbue that with human characteristics more easily than when it gets closer and closer to actually looking like a human being. Your mind and your eye picks up much more so on the differences and puts a barrier between yourself and that thing.
That's interesting.
This in no way inhibits my ability to enjoy sex robots.
No, because that's what you're seeking for. You want it to be a robot, and that's what gets that plug in your back going up there. Whatever that may be. All right, enough of my yapping. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays. Ilana Douglas is 52 years old today. Ileana Douglas, rather. And Matt LeBlanc turns 50 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's Wednesday morning. That means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices,
which everyone
loves. All people love. Stop making that noise. Jordan Klepper will be in studio from The Daily Show.
Jordan Klepper?
Taylor. Oh, the Kleppers.
Taylor Williamson will be on the program tomorrow. Very excited about that. We're giving away another TCL 55-inch TV. We've got your tickets for Metallica at the Rose Bowl. And that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.